Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, by the stripes which wounded thee, from death's dread sting, thy servants free, that we may live and sing to thee. Alleluia. Amen. Now, last week was, as you know, Easter Sunday, and the gospel reading last week was from Mark chapter 16. You remember, it's the women as they're going to the tomb, and on the way they're discussing with one another how they're going to get inside the tomb because the large stone was covering the entrance. They get there, they look up, they see the stone has been rolled away. They look inside the tomb, they see an angel there, and he says to them, "He is risen." But because it was maybe the very first Sunday, women don't know the proper response, like all of you do, I'm sure. So they do not say, "He's risen indeed." Instead, Mark tells us, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, even leaving aside the incorrect response to the Easter call, the rest of that sentence probably doesn't hit your ears right either. Trembling? Saying nothing to anyone? Fleeing in fear? I know, you guys, you would never do that kind of stuff, would you? Although, I'm looking around this evening, there are fewer people here than last week. You think maybe they did that? Is that why they have not joined us again this Saturday night? I don't know. Let's put the best construction on it and say that that is why they are not here. Because, say what you will, I think the women get this one right. Many of the people who saw Jesus firsthand, they saw him perform miracles. They saw him casting out demons. They react the same way too. Their first response to being in the presence of a righteous God doing work right in front of them is fear. Right? Luther got this. What drove him as a young monk was fear. His explanations to the commandments always begin with the phrase, "We should fear and love God." And just like the women, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this Saturday that Thomas gets something right in our reading tonight too. No, not in that he does not believe the disciples' testimony. Jesus corrects him on that. No one should disagree with the disciples' testimony. But what Thomas gets right is that he recognizes this is not normal, what they are telling me, and he insists that he see the wounds of Jesus. And so Thomas is right. That is not normal. He's also correct. If it's not the guy who died, then it doesn't matter what you believe. Thomas and the ladies from last week understand something that we smoothly go right on by with our clockwork response of, "He's risen indeed." Right? Firstly, they get the strangeness of the resurrection. It shocks them. They tremble when they hear it. And when Thomas does see Jesus the very next week, you do not get the idea from our reading tonight that he just takes it in stride. "Oh, hi, Jesus." No, immediately he responds with a stunned, "My Lord, my God." A resurrection may be many things. It can be interesting, it can be impressive, it can be powerful, it can be mighty, it can be scary, it can be frightening. But it is not something that you simply accept with a blasé, "Cool, that's neat, great." Not the way people who have seen an actual resurrection respond. These people in the gospel readings understand, on another sense too, that the resurrection of Jesus in and of itself is not automatically good news. I don't think they're out of the ordinary here. The idea of someone leaving their grave, that is the stuff of nightmares. Right? That's why you guys don't hang out in cemeteries at night. Maybe even more so, if you didn't leave on the best terms with the person who was in the grave, the angels speak to the women, they say, "He told you about all of this before, don't you remember?" And they did not. As for the rest of the disciples, we heard last Thursday and last Friday, as soon as the clubs and the swords and the troops come out for Jesus, they run. They leave him. Next couple days, they don't even know who he is. And eventually, they end up where we read about them tonight, locking themselves in a room because they are afraid. And think about this. If you are associated in any way with getting the Son of God killed, if you've furthermore denied him, denied even knowing him, you don't even recognize his name for any number of petty reasons. Well, upon hearing the news that he has climbed out of his grave, is that good news? Is that bad news? You looking forward to that conversation when he shows up at your door? And that is why our reading today, although it actually takes place on later on the original Easter Sunday, as well as a week later with Thomas, this reading that we just heard, this is what makes the resurrection good news for us. The turning point is what Jesus says to his disciples in our reading tonight. Remember, they are afraid. Their friend had been killed, and when all of that went down, they had not stood by him. They ran. They left him on his own, and even after that, they lay low, deny even knowing him. This man, they had walked with him. They had talked with him. They believed he was the Christ, and they say, "I don't know who you're talking about." And then Jesus shows up in the middle of their hideout, having got by all their security measures, and the first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you." It's not a rebuke. It's not a rant about their hardness of heart, though those do have their times and places. No, the first words out of the mouth of the Son of God to these men is a declaration of peace. And you see that it's followed up with a display of his wounds. That is the gospel. That is what makes the resurrection good news. The Son of God rises and he announces peace. A peace that has been accomplished by his wounds. And then he says that he is going to send them out to make that announcement to the rest of the sinful world. I know this is clearly not deserved. Peter, Thomas, the rest of the guys, they are not doing what they should be doing. They are not believing. They are not out in the streets doing good works. They are holed up, having locked themselves in out of fear. They had run, but they couldn't hide. Jesus tracks them down, and he tracks them down in order to forgive them, in order to announce peace to them. And he invites them to believe. That is, he invites them to trust in him. As John puts it in our epistle reading from his first letter, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. That is what makes Thomas's insistence on the wounds so correct. Unless we see in Jesus' death an end to our sin, and the resurrection as proof that his sacrifice has been accepted by the Heavenly Father, then there is no good news. But here he is, wounds and all, and announcing peace. And so hearing that, is that it? Jesus rose. From here on out, we just go back to life as normal, except we know that now he has risen from the dead. Well, I hope not exactly. Hopefully the strangeness of this event, hopefully that changes you so that you become a little strange too. Hopefully you've shown up here a Sunday, even though it's not Easter, or Saturday, even though it's not Easter Saturday, because Jesus has some way, somehow, found you out too. Despite your doubts, despite your rebellion, despite your running away, despite your fear, Jesus' words of peace have come to your ears. His body and blood have been in your hands for you to touch and see. And you have come to recognize in them peace, forgiveness of sins, your Lord and God. In the face of death, in the face of our sins, knowing that we have done wrong, in the face of a righteous God, you have to run somewhere. And we see in our reading tonight, as well as you know in your own lives, that Jesus shows up so that you run right into him. And he declares peace to you, a peace that cuts through your fear, so that his words of forgiveness become the thing that you hang on, the thing that you insist the rest of the world has to hear most. And only then could you cheerfully respond to news of the resurrection like it is a good thing, with words like, "He is risen indeed. Amen."